The war was lost, the treaty signed, I was not cut across the line. I was not cut, though many tried. I live among you, well disguised. I had to leave.
Welcome to the More Like TV True Detective Show. We're doing it season 2, episode 2. What's the title of this one, guys? Sorry, I just ran in.
Night Finds You.
Okay. But never mind. So talk about upping the ante this season. I mean, I guess before we get to the end of the episode, which of course was the most Game of Thrones shocking part. I guess we
Game of Thrones?
Yeah, it was Game of Thrones shocking.
Oh, okay.
In terms of not seeing it coming,
at
I don't
all.
Think anybody expected that. So before we go into the Jon Snow's alive or dead theory, I guess we will talk about, I mean, what do we want to start with? Usually what's easiest is just go by each character, I believe. So I believe the episode started with, I see if I got it down. Ray is played by Colin Farrell. Vince Vaughn's character is, what? Fuck, I forgot his name now. God damn it.
Frank.
The episode starts with Frank in bed, correct? Am I correct by saying that's how the episode started?
That's correct.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he found, like, watermarks on his ceiling. He's just staring up at him.
And then it had, yeah, then he had actually a pretty decent monologue, I got to say, for Vince Vaughn, about why he doesn't like he didn't like the watermark. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember, what was his story?
His story was that he was talking about how when his father went to go out to go drink and get loaded, he would lock him, his son, Frank, in the basement until he got back, and apparently one day he was just on a complete bender that lasted 3 or 4 days, and so after day one, he ran out of food. After day two, he started feeling little nips on his fingertips from a rat.
Yeah.
Then it started getting worse and worse, where he was talking about how he was just smashing this rat until it was basically goo, and obviously he was traumatized by it, right? I mean, I'm sure this is a happy story that he's lamenting on his relationship with his dad.
Yeah, I mean, it also brought up something that, man, he did something really shitty, because it seems like he's holding some big guilt. And I really still go back to the fact that it has to do with something about lying to Ray about his wife and being raped. And also, that's something else we saw in this episode, was Ray's wife.
Yes.
And that she was screaming at him, and she basically was what taking custody away. I believe
she was working on that and filing a paternity test, like, because basically I guess the kid is not his. It's possibly the spawn of the guy that raped her.
Right. Correct.
But going back to what you're saying about Frank, even his wife, girlfriend, significant other,
whatever
was saying,
yeah,
there's probably a lot about you that I don't know. I wish I did, but you're holding a lot in. So probably one of the better acting performances that I've personally seen out of Vince Vaughn. I know that he's been playing the same character for about 10 years now, but it was pretty good, like you're saying, Royce.
Definitely better than Dodgeball, Vince Vaughn. But the other thing that I noticed was he's not as powerful as you think he is in the very first episode, when you realize that all his money he had, he sunk into this deal. So he's really has no money, you know? When he was talking about how the dude that died was supposed to deliver the $5 million, and now he was talking to the corrupt mayor, I believe that's who it was, right?
Yeah, he came in and he started talking to the mayor. He handed him an envelope that I guess was like a 10 G's short or 1,000 G's short.
Right, and keep in mind, there's only like, what, 95 citizens in the city, so it's really much all the companies that run, and it's super corrupt.
Yeah, and I guess that was the whole thing where Ray and Annie and Paul, Taylor Kitsch's character, they were all assigned not only to find out who's murdered Casper, the city manager, but they were also alluding to, hey, listen, we got to make sure that there isn't any sort of pushback as far as the corruption. Let's
Correct.
Try to keep it all in-house, et cetera, et cetera.
Because the state is trying to use this trial, this murder, to get more information on the corruption. That I guess they have an ongoing corruption case.
Correct, which is the reason why Paul, who was on suspension for the blowjob fiasco with that model, is now back on because he's California Highway Patrol. So that is the state's in to actually be involved in the investigation rather than not be.
Yeah.
Also,
and even he's really mysterious too.
Going back to Ray for a second. I really did like the dynamic between him and Rachel McAdams Apple. Like, you know, that whole conversation they were having in the car where she explained why she has a knife and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was pretty interesting.
She made a good point in the fact that, like, she said, you know, like, what if regular men could go to their job every day and knowing that the majority of the people they deal with could physically take them at any moment, like, you wouldn't be able to handle that. I thought that was a very interesting point for, like, a female cop, like, for them to actually have to think about that from day to day.
That's a good point.
But I think the more significant point, which was actually kind of funny, was obviously, again, Colin Farrell's character Ray has the best lines in this entire show thus far, where he's comparing her vaping on the E-pen to sucking a robot's dick, and that he's also a feminist because he fully supports body issues.
Yeah, because of body issues. That was actually a very funny line.
Yeah. But I think also as far as that conversation is concerned, they're trying to size each other up because he's letting her know about how, you know, it's not what you think. You know, they're pairing all three of us together. They want us to fail. That's the whole reason why this investigation is probably not going to go anywhere, just so you know. And then she's trying to vet him. Hey, how compromised are you?
How compromised are you?
He doesn't really give any sort of answer. He was just, okay, well, I'll talk to you later, and just kind of leaving it at that. So obviously it's, you know, a little said, but a lot was said.
Now,
and just to be clear, Ray is he used to be a good cop, and now he's a crooked detective, or he just has that persona?
Well, we really don't know too much about Ray before the incident where his wife was raped. So we really don't know 100% what kind of cop he was before, but they do insinuate that the corruption started because of this.
Yeah, and it seems to me like he's kind of getting tired of the whole thing reporting to Frank, because the two conversations that they had, they weren't as happy and as cordial as they were episode one, where Frank is just telling him what to do and Ray's basically saying, well, I'm not going to do that, or hey, you got to meet me halfway, and Frank's not having it. Probably because he's stressed out that he's, you know, losing all this money as a result of this deal gone wrong with Casper.
Yeah, that's true. And it was really, I guess, the first time you really see how deep, like we were saying before, how deep Frank's character is in with this deal and how desperate he is when he says, you know, and even the guy before was trying to, you know, work him when he was like $10 million. The guy says, no, it's $7 million, you know. So he was getting worked over by the other guy for some money, and he said, you know, I don't even have that, because, you know, $7 million, $10 million should be the same number. And then he was calling in money and trying to find a way to make more money, if I remember correctly.
And then, like, the crooked mayor was saying, like, hey, what about your poker table?
That's true.
Oh, the poker room. Yeah.
Poker room.
Because I guess he was trying to mortgage all the money for that. He was also... You know, there's no insurance. There's no financial insurance for gangsters.
No, there isn't. That's a good point.
That's all there is to it. And so I definitely know personally that anytime my money is messed with, things get accelerated. I want things done. I'm sure you guys are the exact same way.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't have a set of goons to beat up whoever that's stopping on the street to find out information about that. That scene was great.
Dennis says, which I don't know why he's not doing the show, said, Ray's ex-wife alludes to how he was decent before the rape, and now he's not.
He's a bad person.
Yeah, that whole confrontation between Ray and his ex-wife was pretty intense. I mean, he showed up, was sitting there with a present you could see in a bag for his kid, and she's like, you're not seeing him anymore. And then, you know, you kind of want to, in one way, you know, you want to say, feel bad for him, but you can't. You can't just fucking beat the shit out of someone with brass knuckles.
Oh, she even said it. She said, well, there was the story that one of, you know, your son's friends over at school, his father got beaten within a half inch of his life. Well, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, right. Like, who else was it going to be?
Yeah, and that's I don't know anything about that, but that's the reason we're meeting in a public place, like in front of the Staples Center or wherever the hell it was in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
it looked like a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, that's right. It was a Buffalo Wild Wings. That's right.
Yeah, but I guess I'm trying to remember what else happened with Rachel McAdams' album before, besides the awkward car ride.
A lot of people were asking when she was going to to the Johns to get statements. They kept on bringing up her past and her her last name is the same as, I guess, like a spiritual leader, and right. And keeps on bringing up the fact that she has. Oh, the spiritual
leader was her dad.
Yeah.
And bringing up that she has like all these other like sisters, and they're like, "Oh, what happened to the fifth one?" She's like, "Oh, fifth one became a cop."
Yeah, because two of them committed suicide. Two are in jail.
Right.
She probably blames her dad. In fact, we know that she blames her dad because she did, in fact, say all of that episode one.
Yeah, because she like went on like a drug bust just to get her sister out, and there wasn't anything illegal going on. She just didn't like what she was doing.
Yeah. Here's the other thing, too. So they're all paired up, all three of them, three main characters.
Right.
And then Ray's fat, kind of slobby-looking detective partner. And they're in the warehouse. They're kind of sorting things out as far as evidence is concerned. And then all the guys leave, and they just leave her to her own devices. So
yep.
We already know that who's basically going to carry the day as far as the investigation is concerned. Because it's certainly not Ray.
He's
a fuck-up. And it's not going to be Paul, because he's dealing with his own set of issues involving his mom and his girlfriend. We need to talk about the thing with the mom thing, too.
Oh, God, that was weird. So, yeah, let's go to the back. Let's go to his character. Paul was with his mom in a trailer, right?
Yes.
And gets KFC, even though it doesn't say KFC, but clearly the box is Colonel Sanders.
Now, was I smelling some sort of weird kind, or maybe I just watched too much?
Weird sexual vibe.
Yes!
I got that, too.
At first I was like, maybe I'm watching too much Game of Thrones. and also it's happened in American Horror Story, too, you know, where that season where the mom was, with the kid. But molesting the kid, but I don't understand.
And drinking a trailer park margarita. I don't know if anybody noticed that. The rock salt around the rim of like this like a store-bought. This looks so trashy.
Yeah, so that was weird. And the mom, was maybe that's why he's so fucked up sexually. Because he's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, because like twice in that conversation in that scene, she was like, "Why don't you stay in your old room?" And then she would like give him shit. And then she would go right back to, "You can stay in this room."
She's also feeling up his back, feeling up his belly. Oh, you're so strong, Paul. Oh, my God. Remind me of your dad.
There was some sort of abuse that happened.
And then saying, like, her woman is fat. Like, I saw your girl the other day. She's fat.
Yeah, definitely some sort of a sexual abuse that happened when he was younger.
Making a comment to her son, to Paul, saying, "Well, all the girls like you, Paul. Haven't you figured that out by now? I mean, all the girls love you." While he's giving him a back massage and being all creepy about it.
It was really, really creepy. Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I was thinking about, that we go back and we go to his girlfriend. Yeah, he broke up, or she broke up with him, and you can't blame her. You know, the guy's a fucking mess. But, I'm trying to delay as much as I can to get to what everyone wants to talk about, because we're still not that far into it. But I know the thing everyone wants to talk about is a cliffhanger at the end of the episode, and I want to know everybody's thoughts. But before we get to that, again, what else am I missing? I'm trying to think. A lot happened in that episode.
Well, wait a minute. So going back to Paul and his girlfriend, I think that, he was really trying to answer honestly to her that, I'm working an investigation, which he in fact is.
He is, yeah.
He just doesn't have any people skills. I mean, he's got some sort of trauma, which I'm sure that we're going to find out later on, and he's trying to convey this thing to her, and she's not having it, she's not listening, he's not saying it correctly. This is on you, this is not on me.
Trauma from his mom, which was COVID.
Yeah. He's not very good at explaining
talking to hot women. He's not very good at.
He's good at driving his motorcycle with his lights off, I guess.
He's good at 30-minute shows.
Yeah, he's good at that too. But I'm trying to remember the episode. I'm trying to think who. It feels like it focused mostly on Frank, and except towards the end, obviously, to what happened with Ray. But Let me see, I'm trying to think. The mayor. Yeah, I'm going back to the mayor. That guy is fucking corrupt. Like, not only corrupt, but he just always holding, what was it, a beer can? Just really fucking scummy. Like, just, oh, what a piece of fucking shit he is.
No, he was just drinking hard liquor. He was drinking hard liquor whenever Ray and Annie went over to talk to him about the investigation. What do you know? And then a couple hours later, Frank shows up with the envelope light, and he mentions to the fact that it's light. I'm sorry, I'm trying to do the best I can, but the city manager just got killed or something, and so I'm trying to find out where that money went. And he's just swaying in the wind like he's on a boat trying to get some sea legs under him. Yeah, if I guess if I want to be a daily drunk, I should be the mayor of a city of 90,000 people.
Yeah,
and then like, and then Frank had a conversation with like a building developer, and then went. He had like his two hired goons do a hit and run.
Oh yeah, guy.
Yeah, he rear ended this guy, and then like pepper sprayed him and started beating the shit out of him. And like saying like, you know, like next time you'll be in the back of a trunk, and he's walking across the street as like acting like a good Samaritan. I guess that's why they pepper sprayed him. So you just hear his voice. And then he was like talking about like all these like these things that this guy is known for. And he's like, do I know you? And he's like, oh, you know, it'd be really, really, really a shame, you know, if you, you know, just remember what you said to those people to make them want to do that to you.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, has anybody here been pepper sprayed?
No.
No.
You can't recover that fast. So I thought that was very inaccurate for that guy to like look up as quickly as he did. I was just like, no. You're basically you're it feels like the inside of your eyes and your mouth is closing up and your eyes are basically bleeding from the outside in. Like there's not you're not recovering that quick. That's the nuance I picked up. Maybe I read the scene wrong. I was picking up on things I shouldn't have been.
Have you been pepper sprayed?
Yeah, once.
Oh shit! That sucks.
What were you pepper sprayed for? I forget.
I was part of a riot.
Oh, you idiot!
I didn't actually get pepper sprayed in my face. It was just basically one of those gas things, and I caught a whiff of it, and I was like, okay, I'm not rioting anymore, and I left.
All I know is that again, I go back to the example that. If you fuck with somebody's money, this is what you get. Some people file a complaint. Some people annoy you by making phone call after phone call. But if it's $7 to $10 million, call the goons if you've got them. We're going to get every last dime back. Vince Vaughn, all 6'5" of them, is going to do whatever it takes as Frank to, you know, find retribution because he put in all of his life's work. That's to my understanding, right?
This is supposed to be his legacy. He's supposed to leave this like with like for his kids if he ever has any.
And what was the business thing? Just building a what again?
A railway going from Northern California to Southern California, I believe.
Is that what it is? I don't remember that at all.
It's something to do with transportation.
Yeah, the high-speed rail system that they were all going to be building in conjunction with Casper and the Russians, and it was going to have a whole bunch of, you know, construction and infrastructure happening and occurring. But... you know, of course, getting back, you know, Casper's dead. You don't have insurance to figure out where all this money went. You're getting screwed over by this new businessman that has no idea who you are. He's never met you before. Had you talked to him, you probably would have been okay. But basically, you're shit out of luck. Sucks to be you.
And then I guess Frank is trying to find the people that kidnapped Casper and get the money back because he assumes that the money is still just like lying around somewhere.
Correct.
Yeah, so I guess we want to talk about a little bit. They did the autopsy. That's something else I guess we haven't talked about.
Oh, Jesus. Oh my God, that was crazy.
Yeah, Dennis posted a picture of it, and he took it down because it's too disturbing. Essentially, the picture of Casper's genitalia essentially cut off.
Yeah, shot. Well, it looked like
he got shot with a
shotgun off. Yeah, and his eyes was in acid, and he was like kept alive.
Like hung upside down.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck? What do you guys think? Like, what is the oh, Jesus, Dennis. What would be the reasoning behind that? So apparently this Casper guy pissed off the wrong people.
Right.
Well, apparently this Casper guy was like a sexual deviant. One of the places that they went to was, I guess, like one of those spiritual like with people that have like drug addiction, sexual addiction, and I guess he was going there for 3 months, and they're trying to figure out who he was with the night of his disappearance. Apparently, there was like a
right. Yeah, were they interviewing hookers at one point?
They didn't interview. Yeah, I think they did. I can't remember, but like they went to this one guy that liked to wear sunglasses and looked like a 70s rocker.
Speaking of which, do you know who that is in real life?
That's fucking what's
Rick Springfield.
Rick Springfield.
Yeah. Holy shit!
Yeah,
really? Jesse's girl, Rick Springfield.
Yes, that's him.
He's a friend of yours.
It's a quote from Boogie Nights, but yeah, it's Rick Springfield.
Oh.
So yeah, he played a real.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, that was Rick Springfield. That he what a weirdo, by the way, just a natural weirdo he is.
Like, well, he played it off completely.
No, he was. I mean,
a good actor. Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe I had no idea that was him. Wow.
I love the kerchief he was wearing.
Oh, the ascot. Yeah.
Yeah, but that autopsy was fucking Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
Now, if his balls and dick did get blown off with a shotgun, it seems to me like that was a precise shot because it looked like it just completely got removed. You know, I've never been shot at all, let alone with a shotgun. There would be
like spray, overspray, and it wouldn't be that clean.
Right. Let's ask Dutch. Dutch, have you ever been shot before? Have you been pepper?
I've never been shot before. No.
Okay, so we can't use that example, unfortunately.
Ask me if I've ever been stabbed.
Have you been stabbed before?
No, I have not.
Then why did you have us ask you?
I just wanted to make sure we covered all the bases of violence.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair. Yeah, and
ask me if I've ever been punched in the face before.
I know you have.
1,000 times. I have 5 older brothers. What do you think happened?
You got beat the living shit beat out of you?
Oh, boy.
Now, I guess, do we want to get to the... Because I really just want to get to this. I mean...
I was going to say, we have whatever.
It was kind of for me, it was kind of confusing how it led up to it. Like, he got a tip or he was following somebody?
This is what happened. So Frank, again, is trying to find out information from Ray as far as the investigation. Ray's not having it, or he even said in so many terms that, listen, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore, because Frank's done his own reconnaissance. He goes back to his old dive strip club, and he's talking to a big fat Samoan guy that's got fuck you on his grill.
That's right.
And he's talking with hookers about this guy. Hey, have you seen this guy? And he shows a picture of Casper. He's like, have you seen this guy? And he's talking with this hooker that has broken English as her primary language. And she's saying, yeah, he didn't really do anything. He just liked to watch. But this is the place where he used to live. Not the house with all the cool sexual artwork, but somewhere in wherever. It doesn't matter where it's at.
Yeah, so it wasn't being a deviant. That's where he hung out.
Right. So then Frank goes and meets Ray over at the Happiest Saloon in Los Angeles County with Lana Del Rey Light playing another Sad Bastard song in the background. And they're talking, but there's no Black Label bottle there anymore. And they're saying, you know, you need to find out about this. Ray saying, I don't want to do this anymore. And Frank says, that's not the answer that I came here for. You need to do this. There's no negotiation, and he just leaves. So I guess Ray's kind of in a pinch, but he's not. I mean, he's not really having a good day, seeing as how he just got threatened with the child custody from his ex-wife. That's where it leads up to where you want to go, Royce.
Yeah, and that woman walks up with the scar on her face. And says there's always a way. He even says there's always a way out. I would have to. What does I need? I would need to kill myself to take a vacation or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he walks over to the guy, figures out what the prostitute of the apartment is. He walks over there. He walks in, and then Birdhead just is in there and with a shotgun, and shoots him in the chest. Right.
Like he shoots him. He hits the floor. You don't see any blood, and then point blank. Or maybe like 3 inches away from his torso, he shoots him again.
Do you think now we have to ask, because now we're already doing the
is John Snow dead?
Is John Snow dead or alive,
dude?
It is really ballsy to kill one of your main characters, episode two.
I don't think it is, and I'll tell you why.
Because they're gonna do flashbacks and he's gonna be in it.
Nope.
Okay.
Because with any of these new shows, especially like True Detective or anything. Think of the greatest shows of all time. Like, I think The Sopranos kind of started the trend of hey, let's just kill off a main character and get everybody talking.
Like Big Pussy.
Like Big Pussy. Yeah. When they did that, people were like, what the fuck? And people lost their goddamn minds. But that garnered more interest for the show. So you see things like The Wire, when you saw Omar get killed in such an unceremonial type of way. When you kill off main characters in Walking Dead or kill off main, that's the new trend for a show that people like, is when they do something unexpected. Killing off a huge actor like Colin Farrell in the second episode is very planned out, in my humble opinion.
He's not dead.
He's dead.
Yeah, I don't think he's dead only because you don't see blood.
Now, but he sees blood when he walks in.
Oh, yeah.
He sees blood when he walks in. He's checking out the spot. He opens the door to the bathroom. I'm assuming that was the room, and he sees a two-way window with a camera still recording.
Yes.
So what? You guys think he got shot with like rubber bullets or something?
Oh, rock salt.
Yeah, rock salt.
I think he's dead.
I have issue with how they handled it in the same way that you're referring, Dutch, only because now it just seems like we're just going to shock. We're essentially killing off not only just a major character, but the only character that I really give a shit about, because not only is he broken and has issues, but he's also funny as shit. I mean,
right, that makes you endear him to it. But here's the thing. How many episodes of this show for this season?
This is the second one.
No. How many total?
Eight.
So they got, if they're going to rope you in and do that type of kill off a main character kind of thing, why wouldn't they do it in the second episode? He's dead.
I guess, but sweet, the difference sweet. Is, even in Game of Thrones or even Big Pussy, they let you endear yourself to the character before. Like, it wasn't one episode and then they killed him.
That's my point, is that those are full long seasons that had, you know, With the Sopranos, it was 12 episodes per season, and they didn't kill Pussy till like, what was it, season 3?
Domino 4? Says Omar didn't get killed in episode 2 of The Wire, though.
Right, but that's my point. There's only 8 episodes of this entire season of this show. Like, because every season, you see what I'm saying?
He's
like,
not dead.
They had, everything is condensed. Isn't one of those things that goes on for 7 years. This is a one-shot, 8-episode thing. They have to condense everything down, so they're trying to get all the intensity and that you would see from one of those kind of like long running shows to endear you. That's the reason why they had the make him funny as fuck, make him a bad guy, make him a good guy. They had a lot of Colin.
Let me explain why no. Let me explain why no. Number one, they wouldn't go through all the whole background of his wife and who's the father of his kid and all that.
Makes you endear to him.
No, forget
it
about
makes
that.
You think he's the main character?
Okay, I get it. But now let me give my counterpoint. I let you talk. I believe that it has more to do with the fact that they're not going to kill him only because there's too many unsolved things that they've brought up with him. It would be wasted time. And to say that you don't become endeared to somebody in one episode. It's not like Jon Snow, where it took many, many episodes for people to get endeared. Like, people liked him, but no one. It's one episode, and no one's that hooked to the show. We're like, I can't believe they did it. They did it, I guess, but do I think he's dead? No, probably not. Only because, thinking logically, you don't go and pay somebody like Colin fucking Farrell to be on your show and not use him for all 8 episodes, because he's the main reason of the show. And if you know, the problem is, it does seem kind of just shock value-ish. It doesn't add anything to the story. Not because I give a shit that they kill main characters, but even in the Game of Thrones, every main character they killed, you knew a little bit about them, so you gave more of a shit. For example, even
that
Sean Bean
is
didn't
my
die.
Point.
No,
everything is condensed. You knew a little bit about Colin Farrell. They developed this character and then took him away from you. You know what I mean? Like, they kind of did that whole thing.
Here's the problem: if you look at IMDb, he's in every episode, though. 2-5, 2-6, 2-7, 2-8, Detective Ray Vaccaro. He's an average.
But in all fairness, those can be flashbacks.
It could have been just flashbacks to a conversation, or they just did that and just sent the thing to IMDb.
Then here's what we do.
Throw people off.
It's really simple.
Here's another argument in favor of him still being alive, is that because we have the writer of last season now being the writer and director, so it's writer driven. Everyone agrees on that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so if we're going on that aspect, and we're just going on facts, I'm not even going on opinion anymore. Let's look at the repertoire of Ray Vaccaro and what an awesome guy or not he is. Mm-hmm. So he's beaten up a child's father practically to death
in front of him.
He beat up a journalist.
Yes.
He smokes. He drinks. He snorts coke. He's involved with this gangster guy. His wife, his ex-wife hates him. His son is probably alienated from him. He alienates all of his past colleagues, present colleagues. Like, that's the guy that you want to kill off? There's no kind of redemption. I mean, granted, he's starting to go that way in the middle of this episode, but I don't think it's actually gotten to that point where we have to, like, hit the throttle and start saying, okay, we got to care about him really quick so we can kill him off at the end of this episode so we can move on with the story.
I don't think he's dead, and not because it's not because I'm like, you can't be dead like Jon Snow. It's just I just don't think it would make sense for the story, because you're taking one big piece of the puzzle out. At least, you know, it seemed like everybody added something to the story, and it seems like this is just wasted. For what? He's dead, and then
also
what?
That room was too planned out. It was like a pad. It almost looked like a recording studio.
Also, on top of that, remember how they maybe it was maybe everything is for something in these shows, at least like season one. Remember, they made it really, really, really clear that he wears bulletproof vests. Remember when he was a young cop, he had his shirt over his vest that was too tight.
Yeah.
Well, in this one, I don't know if he's wearing a vest or not, because he's wearing a suit jacket over his shirt. So he could also be, you don't know, he could be wearing a vest for all you know.
Could be a Daredevil suit, Kevlar weave.
Maybe he is Bullseye.
And I think you guys are thinking way too deep into it.
I think you are giving them a little bit too much leeway in terms of
what here's the thing. I think I'm not saying I think it's poor writing. I think it's them trying to basically fit all the emotion and drama that is on some of the greatest shows that we know, Wire, Game of Thrones, Sopranos, yada yada, into 8 episodes. And I think it's just they were going for shock value. That's what I think.
But they're not trying to write themselves out of a hole. It's not like Lost, where they're writing simply right on the whims of their fans saying, hey, you should go this direction. They've already had these episodes and this entire story planned out.
I think they're going gonzo with it, though, dude. I think they're like going, let's do something different. Let's kill the main character in this second episode. Holy shit, Matthew McConaughey, high five, because we're both executive producers on this. Like, you know, like, I think that's what more or less what they're doing. That's it. I mean, until I'm proven wrong, I'm going to stick by this one. I'm usually wrong about maybe 80% of my life. So I will probably be proven wrong. But until then, I'm going to be stubborn and dig my heels in.
Then I'll take a Lester's Fixing Challenge with you right now.
Oh.
I will take it with you right now.
Ooh.
If he is alive, you have to drink a Lester's Fixing of my choice. Or if he's dead, I would drink a Lester's Fixing of your choice on air.
Can I
that's
adjoin
pretty fair.
On that? I'm sorry?
Can I adjoin on that bet?
Of course.
Because
yeah.
I just want to drink Lester's at this point.
No, you do.
Lester's Fixing
Span. And we have the crown.
Yeah. And we have the crown.
Yeah, they do. Well, actually, the crown's mine. I just forgot to bring it because I won the last fixings goddamn challenge. Anyway, what was
all
I
right,
saying?
So are we going to do like a handshake, gentleman's
yes,
agreement?
Yes, look, here you go. It's my hand. Sir? There. Yes, there it is. There it is. Okay, there you go.
Royce, that's your penis.
Well, all right. He's shaking my
John,
head.
You want in on this bet too? What side of the argument are you going to do?
I think he's alive, but at the same time, I can't get Lester's Fixins around here.
Oh, don't worry. There's the internet, so that's not a problem.
Okay. So I think he's dead. Not now. He's dead as far as the rest of the story goes. Now, if they show him in a flashback,
I'm not counting flashback. I mean, this version of him is alive.
All right. There we go. We'll do a Lester's Fixing on that one. Margin Royce versus Dutchie Poo.
Does it make sense?
It really doesn't. I mean,
it doesn't, but I wouldn't put it past them to do that. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Something about it seems contrived. I get it. I think that as more and more Game of Thrones seasons come out and they get more and more influential, that people are going to try, using liberties a little bit more freely. But I don't think that's the case here.
Here's the thing, though. If he wasn't dead, then the show loses a little bit of credibility in being one of those dark, cutting-edge shows.
Oh, also,
well, something that is dark and cutting edge is killing off a main character in the second episode. Him magically being alive, it's like, oh, how Hollywood of them. You know what I mean? And I don't think that's what the producers of the show are going for.
Okay,
that's the reason why I feel the way I do.
I'm telling you. So you watched the entire episode and you saw the preview for the upcoming episode. Is that correct?
And he wasn't involved in any of it.
Well, they did that on purpose.
However, whenever they were talking with Annie about, you know, when my guy gets shot, they didn't say anything about him being dead. They just said that he was shot. I'm thinking that he's still alive. That's just my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
He could be on life support. He could be like, you know, like hospital ridden or something.
Well, I mean, if you're going to take the trouble of shooting him once and then going over and double tapping him, why wouldn't you make sure that he's dead?
Because you don't want to stick around.
That's all I'm thinking.
Maybe he wants to send a message.
Either way, I'm right and all three of you are wrong. So wrong. That's all I'm going to try and say at this point.
Can we at least establish that the man...
That I'm right? Yes.
Wait, that what? The person, not that, that the person that shot Ray was not Michael Keaton. It was not Birdman. It was just a man in a raven.
It was Val Kilmer.
Nice.
George Clooney, you can tell by the nipples. I mean, I guess we're going to find out on Sunday if he's dead or alive.
By the way, for the listeners, you understand how brilliant that was. We named three Batman actors within a quarter second.
Honestly, that right there is just...
Come on. It's comedy gold. If you don't get it, then you should stop listening.
Well, there's an article that somebody wrote. It says, Vince Vaughn is struggling. Vince Vaughn is good at a lot of things as an actor. He's amazing at several things. Given an 8-minute long monologue about being locked in the basement and attacked by rats is not one of those things. See, I liked his monologue. I thought it was good.
I thought it was good, too.
Character development. Like, how do they not like that?
Provides a lot of insight into, you know, obviously when horrible things happen to people, then they'll probably turn out horribly.
Right. Who hates character development moments? Like, that one thing, like, I think it was a couple seasons ago, like, with Walking Dead, they were like, oh, it's so boring. I'm like, do you understand what they did in this season in making you actually connect and humanize with these characters? I mean, you can't just be fucking zombies at all every second. So who the fuck, what kind of writer, him and his little monologue, like, telling a story of something horrific that happened to him. Like, why wouldn't you see that as, oh, okay, I now know a little bit more about this character? Royce?
The rumors are swirling that the Bird Bro blew rock salt into Vercoro. He's still alive. Yeah, I mean, this is split down 50-50, so this really could go either way.
Oh, is that what the chat is saying, that it is 50-50?
Well, yeah, I mean, no, I'm just doing Google articles. I just did Is Ray Alive, True Detective, and pretty much the articles are down 50-50. Half the people say yes, half the people say no. So that's pretty much what the internet is saying.
What about the chat? I want to know what our More Like Radio listeners are.
Well, the More Like Radio listeners, for the most part, are saying he's alive. I mean, Domino's saying Dutch is just playing devil's advocate. He doesn't really believe this.
No, I do think that, Dom.
Well, I mean, that's not what Domino thinks, and he's right, okay. So I agree with him.
How is he right?
See what I just did? I did my own True Detective. I played Bad Cop.
And Domino.
I mean, I don't... you can't fake blames, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I guess there is a blood splatter when he shoots him in the stomach. If you're looking at the picture in the chat room,
yes,
you see like a mist of blood.
I was gonna say, dude, he's dead. He's so dead.
He's not dead. Why wouldn't he shoot him in the head?
Yeah, seriously. Why wouldn't he shoot him in the head?
Because you get a better body reaction shot if you get shot in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, it looks more dramatic that way.
No, more dramatic with a shotgun would be in the face.
Yeah, he's right. Look at our face.
Just talking about dramatic shot, like, for camera-wise and acting.
But if we're talking about the killer that killed Casper is also the person that shot Ray. I mean, if they wanted to just kill Casper, they would have shot him in the head, but they decided to blow his balls off, and they decided to burn his eyes out with acid. So clearly they've got a thing for the theatrical. If for nothing else, just to wear a raven mask, which was
shit. You know what, because dude?
They kept the other guy alive until the very end.
Oh, so I'm not feeling good about my bet right now. I'm not saying he's not going to die before the end of the
But he'll be the alive show. The next one.
Oh, man. True Detective. I think he's lost his bet. You're right. These guys look perfect. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Why wouldn't they just shoot him and keep him alive so they can blow his dick off and put acid in his eyes?
You exactly. Listen, man. You live longer.
Damn it. I think I'm going to lose his bet.
But nothing's been confirmed. You got to watch the episode this weekend.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I'm not feeling good about my odds now. I was like 100%. Now I'm like, I'm at 30% sure.
Here's a question, kind of off subject, that I want to get opinions from everybody about. So So all three characters right now, the cops, not Frank, because we've established that getting your fingertips chewed in a basement when you're locked in there for 3 days by your drunk dad is bad.
It is. Which
situation is the worst? Is it Ray with his ex-wife? Is it Paul with his limp dick and his mom hitting on him? We have no idea what the hell happened as far as those scars are concerned.
Let's just assume that he got raped and fucked up in Afghanistan.
Is it Annie with her two siblings in jail, two siblings that killed themselves, her hippie dad? Here's another thing too that kind of threw me off. So I guess she's doing research in regards to these fetish websites that Casper was looking at.
Yeah, I think she's a sex addict.
No, I think she's a sex addict. I think I picked it up when she was looking at all those porn sites that she was just into it because, you know, even during the first episode of the first season of the second season.
The first time you saw her.
The thing is you're into that? So I think she's just into it. I think she likes it.
Yeah, because she had a guy over, and she's like, and he was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, it got weird." And she's
and
like,
"You know what?
I
didn't realize you were gonna do that." And you could only
holy shit! I just figured something out. Oh my god! Okay, tell me if I'm wrong, but maybe the reason that she was so disgusted with her sister doing porn and found out about it was she was on the site looking at to just flick her bean, and she saw her sister. In one of these porns, and that but probably made her feel ashamed and crazy and said, no, she can't be in the thing that I use to sexualize stuff. I'm telling you, it wouldn't make sense.
How dare you take this thing away from me, sis?
Yeah. Now, this is just speculation, but it makes sense. What were you saying, Mark?
I heard a rumor that you were here, which turns into... Yes. Fuck, I caught you on camera when I'm trying to rub one out.
It wasn't it wasn't a rumor. She just goes to these sites and she popped up, so she freaked out, did research where the people were to scare her.
Made up a story, said that there was a drug house or some kind of a sex trade going on.
Yep.
Got a sting so she could catch her one sister who isn't dead or in jail, like the one that she thinks is normal and says, I gotta save her. Yeah.
Because even though she secretly fucked up, she, number one, I don't think it's just to save her. I think it's embarrassment. I think she's embarrassed that she goes to these things and her sister was on it and she doesn't want her sister because she knows how she treats these people in her mind. I guess this is the way the story is saying it. Like, oh, you're dirty. Yeah. So then her mind.
And then she blames the father for the way that she was raised and how this is what she's become.
Exactly.
And then when her detective partner calls up, hey, you know, I'm just keeping you up today as far as what I was able to find out today. What did you find out? I got to go. I'll just talk to you tomorrow. I've got more porn to look at.
I'm in the middle of jacking it.
Yeah, and she had a lot of dirty things pulled up. Also, I got to say, good on HBO. I mean, they showed a lot of fucking video of the porn she was watching. Without really censoring much. So I give it to them on that, too.
Not to give any spoilers or anything, because I read as the show was being created and being produced for the season, there's a lot more that's going to be shown. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, and Domino says, it looked like she was just watching porn.
Which situation is worse? Which situation is more fucked up? That's my question.
Well, fucked up in terms of which one, but one I would want to least be.
Sure.
Well, right now is Ray because he's shot in fucking shotguns. But let's say
let's assume correctly that he's alive.
Yes, let's assume correctly that he's alive.
Not incorrectly.
I
will be vindicated of this.
I probably still wouldn't want to be Ray. I think he's still the worst off.
Yeah,
because you got the kids, then you got the rape, then you got the kid isn't yours, then you got now you're realizing you're absolutely under the thumb of this gangster or this up and coming gangster, and there's nothing you could do about it short of killing yourself. Even he says it, you know.
Here's the thing, maybe you guys picked up on this too, but that kind of fucked me up a little bit when that whole confrontation between Ray and his wife in the parking lot, and then she said. She essentially said, you have gotten worse and you're a horrible person now after the rape. When you got to think in any male's mind, when you find out that the love of your life gets raped and then you kill the person
rightfully
who raped your wife
for her, he even said
for
that.
her. And then she looks at you like you're a monster. And it's like, what am I? You know what I mean? Because your animal instinct is to defend your home and family.
Your family, yeah.
He does that, and she's like, you're fucked up. How? That's got to fuck with anybody's mind.
So of course he's drinking. Why wouldn't you? Of course he's going to go beat the shit out of some kid's dad.
On top of that, you know,
it's like, you ungrateful bitch. You got raped. I killed the guy, and you're telling me I'm fucked up.
And not only that, she's going to sit there and do a paternity test to then, because you're going to fuck the kid's life up now. To tell,
she's telling you, yes.
I mean, I agree with that part. I'm not saying she's 100% sane either. Don't get me wrong. She's not.
Well, I'm just saying that that contributes more to his psychosis of like,
right. If she does go with this paternity test, she's going to go back. And if it proves that, like, Colin Farrell is not the father, she'd be like, hey, yeah, this is your father. He died. This guy that was saying that he was your father killed him.
Oh, yeah. And then, by the way, he raped me while he was robbing my house.
Now, wait a minute, though. I think, again, my opinion that she kind of freely throws this card around to Ray. But I don't think she would ever act on it, because the alternative, the one that John just described, is way, way worse. Like,
oh, yeah,
this is your father. He was killed by your stepfather. By the way, your father actually raped me, is a lot worse than, hey, you've got a shitty stepfather that gives you a recorder, but on occasion beats up your bully's dad and calls you a fat pussy to motivate you.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, I think you might be right. I think it's just a card, but it's a shitty card to play.
Right. But I guess, you know, if you're asking, Mark, to go back to your point, who's in the worst position? That one. Because when your marriage falls apart because you, in your mind, are killing the thing that hurts your woman, and then she leaves you because of it. Oh, and she decides to father the kid, and then you have to sit there. You know what I mean? Like, that's a way worse position. Because it's emasculating, it's demeaning, it's fucking, it's I can't talk to him. You know what I mean? He's in the worst position, definitely.
I mean, I would probably say that they're all demeaned in some way. If we're really going with Paul getting molested by his mom, Annie in some way sexually abused or titillated at a very early age because of her father's upbringing. Lack of parenting. But I think Ray's fucked simply because of the fact that he is with Frank. And he has no choice being with Frank because they've been in since the very beginning when he got that information allegedly about this rapist guy.
And the shitty part is he's in with Frank not for any... just he's in with Frank because he was trying to do something for his wife. The same wife, as Dutch said, is trying to fuck him over with his kid. This guy is in a shitty place and he's gained nothing out of it.
Right.
Think about that.
Right.
He actually, when you look back, he was probably, he does shitty things, but he really, his motivations are very selfless. If you think about it. They're selfless.
Break it down.
They're like, I need to do this because, you know, he's a cop. He knew that they were never going to fucking find the rapist. So he was like, I need to go in with this guy. This is the only way. And he basically sold his soul to the devil, you know, to use a fucking hack metaphor. But he sold his soul to the devil to basically... For not even for him, for his wife. And then his wife thanks him by saying, you have an attitude problem, not realizing that maybe I have a fucking attitude problem because I work for a mobster now.
Right. You know? Who's also broke and desperate. And so that's kind of amping up all the requests and questions and direction and orders that he's now having to take. I mean, it's not even a question. He has to take them.
Well, apparently every site says that they answer the question, were Ray's alive or dead, the very first thing in the episode is they answer that. So apparently they don't say what it is, but they just say that they answer it quickly. So you don't have to wait to the end of the episode to figure it out. So we'll know very fast on Sunday.
Mm, all right.
Lester's fixin's going to taste so delicious.
Dutch, which one flavor do you want?
No, it's going to taste delicious for you.
Well,
because that right there gave me a little bit of hope. I'm back from 30% up to 60 now.
Why?
Because... one conversation with one cop, like, yeah, he's dead.
They didn't say that. They just said that he was shot.
No, they said they answered, and it says...
very quickly they answer it. So I'm thinking the way a writer would go, either they open up a scene with him handcuffed with rock salt in him, cops are talking and he's dead.
It says, while logic suggests there's much more to learn about Vokuro, at least put it this way, the opening scene of Sunday's episode will waste very little time answering that question, and it does so in one of the weirdest ways possible. That's all it says. Literally, that doesn't answer anything. It could still be anything. It could still be anything. I mean, depending on what you want it to be, you could pick and choose and fight your argument with that statement, really. Because there's stuff you could pick to fight your argument, and there's stuff I could pick from that same statement.
No, I read it the same way you did. That's why I didn't even bother going there.
It's just you can't. It's whoever wrote the review, they're pretty good here. But, man, it's just, it seems like, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, and not because I hope or anything, like, oh, he's so cool. I don't think so. You know?
Right, hypothetically, what would you say, though, if, you know, we find out first 3 minutes of the show next week, he's dead. Are you going to agree with me, or are you going to think there's, like, some kind of, like in the fact that they're just going for shock value?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, well, it all depends on how they handle it. I mean, I would have to see what they do and what they use it for and, you know, specifically how I couldn't answer that until I see how they handle it.
Right.
But, now, I mean, go ahead.
Here's another question, too, that, you know, I was kind of wondering is that obviously Birdman, George Clooney, if you will, shoots Ray point blank. He's obviously not acting alone. So how far does it go? Does it go in conjunction with the mayor? Because all these things are starting to get connected now where, you know, Frank is in bed with the mayor and the mayor's trying to, you know, let him know that he's got him on the outs if he doesn't pay up. You know, they're doing this whole state investigation on the sly, and they've got Paul as an in now that Casper's dead, and he just happened to be the one that finds him. So what are your guys' thoughts in regards to that?
Fuck.
Well, obviously everything's interconnected. Otherwise, they wouldn't be showing 500 stories.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. We know so. Now, I still don't know what the missing link is. I mean, I still don't know what that's going to be. And we do have the murder, and we do know what. But we also have...
Who's behind it, though? Yeah, that's the thing. Like we have all the players kind of reacting to the murder, but we still have to figure out who in the fuck is behind it.
And here's another reason why I don't think Ray's character is dead. He's the only one that was set up to protect the city's interest in the law enforcement. If he goes, there's no one who's going to... Then the other three cops hold no interest in the city. They're going to try to, you know, help the state and fuck it over. Ray was kind of the only line of defense against that.
Not really, though. Wasn't the vice cop, wasn't she a city police? Rachel McAdams?
I don't think she...
I thought she was a city cop.
No, she's a detective.
She's a vice cop.
Yeah, cop, which I thought was city. Wasn't it that state?
I don't know. It's a good question. What is she?
They kind of like in the beginning part of the show, like, you know, them all getting briefed from their different areas and different precincts, kind of going, hey, we have a vested interest in the case and we're putting you guys on it. So one was federal, one was city, one was state, and one was like, I think FBI, right? Oh, no, guy.
The FBI, was just, the FBI is the partner of...
She's running it. She was designated to run point as far as the investigation is concerned. Then
according to her things. But do you not remember? The other guys were saying, we want you to run point. Like, they were all kind of saying the same thing. We want you to be the guy who's on the in. Because essentially the state cops, the straight troopers, like they... Everybody has a vested interest because apparently this Casper guy has dirt on everybody. That's what I read from the episode. Yeah. I don't know what you guys got, but
you might be right. You know, I didn't even think about that, but he might have dirt on every single one of them.
That's why they, like I said in the beginning, like you saw them all, each individual cop was sitting down with their higher ups going, look, we need you in on this. You were the first one there, yada, yada, you know. Yeah. Because, the bike cop was for the state, for state troopers. She was a city cop with Vice. He, I think, was federal because he was an investigator a federal investigator, I thought, right?
Yeah, and I think it's pretty interesting how you kind of describe it. And going back to the first episode where Frank's wife was saying to his confidant that everyone gets touched, this is a perfect example of that. Because obviously everyone's out to try to figure out how do I get out of this jam without, you know, showing my card or, not getting caught or not getting killed or not getting my balls blown off.
Yeah, yeah, man. I mean, I'm in. I mean, reviews are 50-50 now, but I'm in. I'm really into this. I'm liking it a lot. I'm digging the story. I really want to see where it goes. I really want to figure out who Birdhead guy is. And I wonder if it's going to be anything like last season where, you know, not to give anything away, but the killer was somebody that you may have seen but not expected.
Yeah, it was so, very close. But
yeah, but that's a. I don't want to spoil it because I've never seen the first one. But I'm wondering if that's how they're going to handle it. I'm not really, really sure. But it's a matter, I guess, of figuring out if it makes you wonder if somebody just started to do these killings specifically to try to get the city in trouble. Like they needed a way in. And maybe killing this dude who had all his fingers and, you know, all this stuff with the city.
As a distraction.
Would be a good way to get in there and help their case against them. It's the only thing I can think of.
Dom in the chat says, Tim Reagan's girlfriend's relative is going to play into the murder, I think.
Yeah, possibly.
What? Remind me why I don't... Maybe I'm not following. His girlfriend's relative?
The missing girl, is that what we're talking about?
Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that. Okay, yeah. I forgot all about that. All right.
Dutch, you need to start watching season one, by the way.
Watch season one.
Yeah, I heard it was good. Well, fucking that girl with the beautiful eyes gets naked in it.
Domino has a good point. Casper was a porn freak, and the chick cop likes porn. That's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, all that means that they're going to show a lot more porn on HBO, thank God.
Woo! And it's the most important part, really. I mean, we need Game of Thrones is gone. We need our nipple fixes somewhere, right, guys?
Exactly.
Yeah, like I would like to see Rachel McAdams' boobs.
Your nippers are so pink.
All right. Well, we're down to the end. So I guess now let's. I guess we could have our what we think is going to happen next episode. I mean, that's the. Also, Ring I got
alive.
I got the girl
dead.
I just watched the killing again. That was not blood that was flying back. That was fabric.
You might be right. Lyra Lynn, the one who the girl covered Ring of Fire. So I'm going to play that as the outro.
Okay.
Seems pretty. I'm digging it. So what's the predictions? What are we thinking?
Dead. So fucking dead.
I'm thinking alive.
Nope. After I just saw this again. Nope. He is definitely not dead. He is very injured.
Like I said, more than likely you're right because I'm wrong with everything. But I'm just going to stick to this one for now.
Speaking of dead, I predict Frank will have someone killed or kill someone himself to ramp up his evil ways as a gangster guy.
Oh, yeah. I think that they're going to delve way deeper into Rachel McAdams' apple sexual thing, and it is going to be connected.
God, I hope she gets naked, finally.
Like, they're going to blackmail her some way, or she's going to be, like, too hot for the investigation?
Man, for all we know, her sister might have done some work for this dude or did a show for him or something, for all we know.
It's possible.
You know.
Whoa, man, what if her sister was the last person that he was with?
It's possible. I think that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for listening. Stay tuned next week. We'll be doing the episode 3. Make sure to watch it this Sunday. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you.
Love.